Shalom, and welcome to Via Havta Yisrael, a Hebrew phrase which means, you shall love Israel. We hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes as our teacher, Dr. Baruch, shares his expository teaching from the Bible. Dr. Baruch is the senior lecturer at the Zera Avraham Institute based in Israel. Although all courses are taught in Hebrew at the Institute, Dr. Baruch is pleased to share this weekly address in English. To find out more about our work in Israel, please visit us on the web at loveisrael.org. That's one word, loveisrael.org. Now, here's Baruch with today's lesson.
The more faithful you are to God, the more you're probably going to suffer in this world. Now, many people, they don't teach that. They teach that faithfulness leads to wealth and prosperity and good things. And that is true from a kingdom perspective, meaning this. In the kingdom of God, always faithfulness pays eternal dividends. But in this world, we need to realize something. There is a prince of this world, and I'm speaking about our enemy, Satan, and he hates faithfulness. He stands in opposition to truth. And therefore, when he sees someone walking submissively to the truth of God, displaying faithfulness, he's going to attack this one. And a great example of that is David. We began last week Psalm 35, and we're going to continue the second half in this week's study. And we see once again, in very plain terms, David is under attack. And when we walk with God, the enemy sees that, and he is going to want to discourage us by bringing adversity into our life. So faithfulness from a kingdom perspective, of course, faithfulness leads to blessing. Does God bless people in this age for faithfulness? Yes, he does. But realize also, faithfulness is not just going to be acknowledged by God, but faithfulness is also going to be acknowledged by the enemy. He's not going to like that, and he is going to attack, trying to discourage us. He is going to place adversity upon us because he is the adversary, and he hates obedience. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to continue in Psalm 35. We've seen principles. So how we handle the attacks of the enemy. And we're going to continue to learn new principles from this same psalm in regard to overcoming the attacks of the enemies when we are walking in faithfulness. So notice what David says. We're going to begin where we left off. Look, if you would, to verse 15. Now, the first verse here, oftentimes, this word is translated as adversity or trouble. But literally, it's the same word that is found in the mouth of Elijah when he talks about individuals struggling, limping, is literally what this word is. Between two opinions. Well, David isn't struggling between two opinions. This word in this context means one who has been injured, one who is hurting. And what David is saying here is this. He has been wounded by the enemy. And he's teaching us that the enemy, he watches this. And what does the enemy do when a child of God is wounded? Well, notice what verse 15 says. Psalm 35, verse 15, word says, and when I limped, meaning struggled, when I was injured, they rejoice and they gathered together. The imagery here is this. Think of, for example, a pack of wolves, and they see one of their prey. They're ready to attack some type of animal, and they see one of them is injured. And that one that's injured, obviously, won't be able to run as fast, not as agile as others. And therefore, this is where they're going to be gathered in order to attack and bring about destruction. This is what the enemy does. And this is exactly what David is crying out to God, that he has been injured. They are rejoicing, his enemies, over this, and they have gathered together. And he says once more, look at the second part of verse 15. They have gathered together against me. And then we have a word that describes them. And this is the word nechim, which is a word of those who are scoundrels, those who are wicked individuals, those who rejoice in causing suffering and problems and troubles to others. So they see that David is suffering. He has a problem. He has trouble. And therefore, they've all assembled against him. He says, they have assembled themselves against me, these scoundrels. And then he says, Velo yadati, for I did not know. Now, what didn't he know? Well, perhaps how many there were, how intense they are in seeing David being defeated. And here's the problem. If we focus in on the enemy, we indeed are going to be overwhelmed. We are going to be discouraged, and we're probably going to just give up. And that's why it's so important that when we're going through adversity, when we see that we have been injured spiritually, physically, whatever we're engaging in that is to our hurt, our demise, our problems, we need to not focus on that, but we need to turn our attention to the living God. Why? Because he's greater than those enemies, and he can overcome all things, and he can cause us to be overcomers. Remember what it says in the book of Revelation, that we need to hear what the Spirit is saying, and that Spirit, he is going to lead us to victory, to overcome. So once more, David is speaking, and he says, they have gathered unto me these scoundrels. He said, I did not know. And what is their objective? Well, keep reading the end of the verse. For they have torn, and they are not, and this is a word, they're not still, they're not silent, they are attacking. And their desire is to tear apart. They want to bring devastation, destruction, despair, discouragement, all of these things, both spiritually and physically, to David. In other words, the enemy is very intense upon David's destruction. Look now to verse 16. He understands something, that these individuals, notice, he says, they, in their hypocrisy, they mock the festival. So at a time of worship, at a time of drawing near to God, these individuals, they are hypocrites, and they mock these things. They have no interest in worshiping God. This is what this first part of verse 16 is speaking of. And they gnash, and this is to intimidate. It is not a description, as it often is in the New Testament, of someone who's intense suffering, but rather it has to do with someone who is trying to intimidate someone. So they gnash at me their teeth. So David is saying, I am hurt, I am being mocked, and there are those who are threatening me. And they have one thing in their thoughts, and that is my ultimate demise, my ultimate destruction. But what does David do? Look now to verse 17. He says, my Lord How long will you look, meaning you're aware of this, you see this, so how long are you going to look? And then he says, restore my soul from their destruction. And this restoration is so important because it involves, and don't miss this subtleness of the text, this restoration. And what's being restored here? David's relationship with God. Why is this so important? Because this is what the enemy, first and foremost, is attacking. The enemy hates when we are in this covenantal intimacy with God. So this despair, this hardship, this discouragement, it is indeed a weapon of the enemy. It is their strategy, because if the enemy can get us to despair and we turn that despair into, well, God, he's not going to help. He's not going to respond. He's not aware of my problems. He doesn't care about what I'm going through. If we begin thinking in that way, we're going to find that our adversity is going to grow. And that's why David so wisely, he says, God, how long are you just going to look? And he's pleading. He says, restore my soul from their destruction. From the lions, and these are these young, powerful lions, he says, my, and the word here is yechida, which is my unit, probably referring to his life and everything under his domain. Why is he speaking in this terminology, my unit? Well, as I said, it relates to everything that David has, his resources, those things that he is over. And what David is saying is this. They are attacking these things. Why? Because I've placed them, dedicated them to the things of God. And now they're attacking because they hate that which is dedicated to God, that which is set apart for the purposes of God. Anything that we say, God, it belongs to you, the enemy is going to come against that. He is going to test that and to see if indeed we are sincere and committed to that. Let me give you an example. There's an individual, and this one has been very generous to the things of God, faithful to the work of God. And as he was doing this, his resources, his business, his income, all began to go through a downward trend. And he says, what's going on? As I have grown in my faithfulness in giving to the things of God, I expected that would be acknowledged by God in faithfulness. And that God would display his response to my faithfulness by blessing my business, my income, those things that I have access to, my resources. And he says, just the exact opposite has happened. Now, what's going on? Well, we have to realize something. See, what you sow, you will reap, but that reaping oftentimes takes time. And what happens is this, before that fruit comes, the enemy will attack and will try to discourage us, to bring about doubt, and to say, you know, these principles that God has said, they're not working. And the enemy's objective is to get us to change course. But when we remain committed to the things of God, not because what we're going to get in return, but because it's the right thing to do, you can be assured that what we sow, we're going to reap. We're going to reap 30-fold, 60-fold, 90-fold, 100-fold, but it may take time. Don't look at things in the short term. We need to realize that commitment requires time. And that time manifests how committed we are and will also determine to the degree that we're going to reap of what we sow, whether it's going to be 30 or 60 or 90 or so forth. So David says here, restore my soul from their destruction and from the lions or young lions, my unit, verse 18. Now, nothing has changed in David's situation. He's made this plea, God, help. God, do something. But there's no evidence that God has done anything up until now. And nevertheless, what does David do? David demonstrates trust, faith. Even though his soul has not been restored, even though there's not been that reaping of what he has sown, what happens? Look at verse 18. He says, I will give thanks to you in the congregation, in the great or mighty congregation. What's he referring to here? Kahal Rav. Well, most of the rabbinical commentators are saying, not in some congregation here on this world, but rather, he's talking about how his praise, his thanksgiving, his confidence in God is going right into the heavenly congregation. He is lifting up his praise, his worship, his thanksgiving all the way to the courts of heaven because he wants heaven to know his commitment. It is not dependent upon an immediate result, not dependent upon what he gets in return. Now, it's appropriate for us to want to be individuals who experience deliverance, help from God, but our faithfulness is not dependent upon God doing anything if we're truly faithful. We're faithful to doing the right thing, as I said, because it's the right thing, because it brings honor and glory to God. So even if I don't reap immediately or in the future, soon enough, what difference does it make? Because my faithfulness in the midst of these things bear testimony of my faith, my commitment to God. Let's move on to verse 18, the second half. He says, and in the people of power, I will praise you. Now, here it says, among strong people, people of power, I will praise you. It's the word atsum, and this is something that's great. It is a synonym for the first word we saw here, rav, meaning abundant. But usually, it's a word that measures something that is strong, something that is vast. And what David is saying is this, I am going to have testimony among those people that are also strong. Strong how? Strong in the faith. And what is David going to do? Well, we see what's parallel here with the word I'll give thanks is a word that I will praise you. Here again, not for what God has done, but what for God will do in David's situation. He's demonstrating faith. Verse 19. Do not allow to rejoice or be glad over me, my enemies. And then they have a word here for the word false. And what it's saying here is this. Don't allow my enemies to be glad in this false reality. He's saying, what is happening now to me in this world? It is a false, a vain, an untrue experience. Why? Because it's of this world and it's going to pass. There's nothing lasting, nothing eternal, nothing enduring about this world. It's all going to give away. So even if you see someone who is wicked through and through, it seems like good things are happening to them. They are wealthy. Their children are smart. Things just go right for them. And they have good things and good things and good things, even though they are mocking God and defiant against his commandments. So what? This is all in the short term. See, God's throne, God's judgment is not in this world right now. He is the judge of judges, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, but we are waiting for Messiah to come and make judgment. There's a very significant word found in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 27. And it's a word, justice. It's parallel in verse 27 with righteousness. And here's what Isaiah says. It says, God is going to bring redemption when he brings justice. Who's going to bring that justice? He is. It's going to be that the kingdom of God is going to be established with God judging things, putting things in order. That's not the reality now and the days we're living in, but it will be. And therefore, what's happening now, if there's injustice, there's suffering when someone walks in obedience, it's all temporary. It is false. And that's why David, notice what he says in our verse, verse 19, do not allow to be glad over me, my enemies. And then there's that word, it's all false. They hate me, the ones who hate me, chinam. What's that? Without cause. There's no reason. David hasn't done anything personally to them that has caused this hate. David's done that which is right. So they hate him without cause. And it says that they wink the eye. And this is an expression meaning that they are gathering others. They're giving a signal to come against him. They hate him and they want to destroy him. But why is this word false there? Because they can't destroy the real David. Humanity, and listen to this, also the supernatural world from the satanic perspective, can't do anything to harm your soul. Why? Well, if you're a believer, that soul has been purchased by the blood of Messiah. It belongs to God. And you are going to receive a new body that soul is going to go into, a kingdom body. So that soul is going to be preserved. Anything that they might do to the outward, well, it's just that. It is temporary and it does not reflect the future glory that we're going to have when we receive that kingdom body and when we are brought into the kingdom of God. Verse 20. For they do not speak peace. What does that mean? They do not proclaim the will of God. They're not interested in the will of God. Likewise, against those who are quiet or still or relax in the earth, they speak words of what? Words of deceit. And what else do? They also meditate. They think that. So they are meditating, thinking of those things which are false. Those things which are related to that which is deceived. They are not dealing or seeing things from a reality. Now, what's the principle here that we need to learn? When we are not committed to the things of God, a person that rejects a covenantal relationship with God, rejects the gospel, that person is going to be those who think, meditate, focus in on that which is deceit. They're going to be not operating in a true perspective of what the situation is. And therefore, they are easily going to be manipulated by the enemy, because the enemy is the source of this deception. So they're going to be walking against the truth of God. Verse 21. What else do they do? Their mouth, they open wide against me, and they say, aha, aha, and our eyes see. Now, what is this scripture doing? Two things. We've just had a verse concerning deception. And now they're speaking boldly. They're opening their mouth loud and proclaiming. They say, aha, aha. They think they see something. But what their eye sees is all rooted in this deception. So they do that, but they see with their eyes rather than walk. Well, faith doesn't come by seeing. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God. They're operating under the vision, their perspective. And they're going to be deceived, and they're going to do those things that are against the truth. They're going to do those things that in the end do not give them peace or satisfaction or joy. They are ministers of deceit, and they have been deceived themselves by the enemy. Verse 22. The Lord says, look and do not be silent. So David is saying, Lord, see this and don't be silent. He goes on to say, O Lord, and it's a different word. The first word is the word Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. The second word is this term Adonai. Now they have the same meaning, and David is using these in parallel terms. But he says, O Lord, see and don't be still or silent. O Lord, do not be far from me. Now, here's a huge principle, and that's this. When you are going through difficult times, where is God in that situation? Have you invited him there to deal with that problem? Are you in an intimate relationship? We say, well, how would I know that? Very simply. By praising him, worshiping, thanking him, speaking of his attributes, his character, praising him for what he's done in the past, and giving him thanks for what he's going to do in the future. See, worship brings us into the presence of God. And therefore, David is saying to God, don't be far from me. And the way we need to understand that is this. David is worshiping God in the midst of this. He says in verse 23, he says, rise up. And this is a word to rise up from stillness, oftentimes from sleep, and be getting up. Two words. Now, these are words that usually are related to man. Human terms, because we know that he who keeps Israel neither slumbers or sleeps. But David's saying here, it's as though God has been absent from my circumstances. So he's saying, God, wake up, get up, and establish what? He says, for my justice. My God, my Lord, he says, contend for me. Now, David understand something, that when we are in a covenant relationship with God, we belong to him. And these attacks against us, hear this, are also attacks against God. So David is saying, rise up, don't be still, don't be silent, don't be far away, but I want you to contend on my behalf. And David can have assurance that God's going to do that because David is committed to the things of God. So when God contends for David, He's contending for those same things that are precious and important and part of the will and the purposes of God. Verse 24. He says, judge me according to your righteousness, O Lord my God, and do not allow them to rejoice or be glad over me. Now, here's another huge thing, and that is this. David, what is he concerned about? Justice and righteousness. Those two words reflect the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of justice and righteousness. So David is committed to those things. David is acting in light of those things. And the enemy is coming against David because David is working out, committed to justice and righteousness. So he's simply saying, God, respond to me, to my situation, because I'm, once again, I'm committed to the things that delight you, the things that are related to your kingdom, the things that you have commanded us to strive for. So he says, judge me according to your righteousness, O Lord my God, and do not allow them to be glad over me. Verse 25. Do not have them say in their heart, aha, our soul. Now, when it means our soul, most scholars believe it's talking about their innermost desire. Here's the biblical principle. There should be a relationship between your desire and your soul. Hopefully, your desire is what God desires. You're committed, and that defines your spiritual condition. That you are someone who is committed to, submissive to, recognizing the authority of God in all things. So he says in our verse 25, do not allow them to say in their heart, aha, our soul, meaning we have obtained our desire. Do not allow them to say we have swallowed him up, meaning that they have defeated David, that David is no more, that they have triumphed in their desire to destroy David. What does he say? He says, allow them to be ashamed. And it uses another word for having contempt placed upon them. And together, he says, because they rejoice or are glad in my evil. Now, I was talking to an individual about the fruit of the Spirit. And we were talking just today about one of the fruit of the Spirit, which is goodness. And goodness is that quality that when something good, favorable happens to someone else, that you sincerely are happy for them. That you're the type of person that wants to behave in such a way that good things happen to other people. And usually good, of course, is related to the will of God, and we want the will of God. But here it's simply talking about things that are favorable to someone. They get a promotion, they get a raise, something happens. And they are happy. It just makes them delighted. And you share sincerely in that joy that they have because something good has happened to them. You're not the type of person that says, why them and not me? How come they got it and not me? This is not this fruit of the Spirit related to goodness. And so these individuals, what brings them joy? Well, they rejoice. It's in the evil. David says, my evil, meaning when bad things happen to me, that makes them happy. And because of that, David says, when a person is of that mindset, that objective, what's going to be placed upon them? Well, hear this. If you're one type of person that finds it hard to be happy when good things happen to other people, realize that when you are saddened by good things happening to others because you didn't get it, that the outcome is going to be shame and embarrassment, that there's going to be contempt placed upon you. And David says, may they put on the same word for shame and embarrassment, contentment. This is what happens when you want evil things to happen to other people. You are dressing yourself in shame and embarrassment. That's what David is saying. Also, he talks about how that they magnify. They are happy. They exult when bad things happen, he says, to me. Verse 27. Now we see the contrast. To those, look at verse 27. They shout and they are glad. Those who, and this is one who desires my righteousness. Now that's what we should be. We should be individuals that are happy when someone is behaving righteously. And what is our call in a very general sense in this world? Our call is to be an influence upon others to behave righteously. So we're the exact opposite of these that are plaguing David. They want David to do that which is unrighteous, and then they rejoice. No, we are different. We want individuals to behave righteously. And we rejoice, we shout for joy over that. That's what verse 27 is saying. Read on to the second part of verse 27. They say continuously, those who have the right attitude, they say continuously, the Lord, He is great, He is lifted up, He is manifested in a magnificent way. We magnify the Lord literally. It's word for making the Lord great, in word ascribing greatness to Him. And it says, these are the ones that what? It says here, this one desires. And a lot of Bibles put it, like the King James, prosperity. This is not the word prosperity. It's a word that you know in Hebrew. It's a word shalom. And what is shalom? Shalom is the outcome of when God's will is fulfilled. Oftentimes, shalom is thought of as peace, but it's that feeling and the outcome when God's will is done by His people. Something always good takes place when God's will is done. So here we see they shout, a shout of joy. They rejoice, those that desire, the ones who desire my righteousness. They say continuously, for the Lord, He is great. And they desire, it's in the singular, He desires the will of God, peace of His servant. Verse 28, the last verse. And my tongue, now David makes it personal. He talks about how other godly people behave, and now he makes it personally. He says, my tongue will express. Not the normal word for saying something or speaking something, but it's expressing it. And it's flowing. What one meditates upon, that is focused on over and over, it's flowing from his mouth. So David says, my tongues express your righteousness. And all day, this can be every day or all throughout the day, this same tongue, it will what? It says, it will praise you. Now, David, again, nothing has happened differently in his life. But David is teaching us that if we want God to get involved in our circumstances, if we want him to deliver us from the attacks of the enemy, we have to stay consistent to those things that he desires, those things that are connected to his will, his purposes. And secondly, we also need to be an individual that praise him and thank him and glorify him and worship him and not lose sight of that which is righteous. If we do those things, we know something. It will simply be a matter of time before things change. Why? Well, we know something. Those who seek evil, those who do not want righteousness, they in the end are not going to be victorious. They are going to experience the judgment of God. They will be defeated. So time, every day that we are under attack, every day that we're suffering, every day that we're enduring this adversity, realize we're closer to victory. And if we want to experience that victory, remain faithful in praising God, worshiping God, thanking God, because there is a great change coming. Well, I'll close with that until next week. Shalom from Israel.
Well, we hope you will benefit from today's message and share it with others. Please plan to join us each week at this time and on this channel for our broadcast of loveisrael.org. Again, to find out more about us, please visit our website, loveisrael.org. There you will find articles and numerous other lectures by Baruch. These teachings are in video form. You may download them or watch them in streaming video. Until next week, may the Lord bless you in our Messiah Yeshua, that is, Jesus, as you walk with him. Shalom from Israel.